Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee and the Word. It is a beautiful September morning here. The air is crisp. The leaves are changing. My patio is covered with leaves, so if you hear me rustling around, those of you that know me know that I cannot be still for very long. So this is just such a great place to share these messages of hope outside in the beauty of God's creation. Well, I was thinking about this morning. I was praying, got up really early and for several hours was just digging through, God, what message do you have today for the people that call in for Coffee and the Word? What message do you have for me today? What are you wanting to show us? And I began to think about, and he brought to my memory a teaching that he gave me several months ago back in the spring called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. Because so many times we want change. We want a life change. But we all know that change is a little bit scary. And even though we desire change, oftentimes we set ourselves up for things to stay the same. You know, a lot of times God will begin to move and shift things in our lives, and we become uncomfortable. We become afraid. We become nervous about the changes. Everything becomes unstable under our feet. We start to we're very much creatures of habit. We get into these ruts and routines. And so this may end up being a two-part message today and Wednesday, but I want to let you know that there is a way to change, but it all starts in your mind and in my mind. You see, we want change. We want things to change for the better, but we're afraid to take a risk. We want things to change for the better, but many times we don't want to do the hard work that it takes to affect change and moving into the new season. So when I was working with the girls in the prison, when all of the Isaiah team has been going in, and we still do, but when we first started going in, and every time we would have an altar call, the altars were full of these women that lives had been devastated by the enemy and destruction, destructive behaviors, destructive choices. And they would come to us, and we noticed that over and over again, there was a common theme, a common comment from the girls. And they would say to us, I'm okay in here. I'm in a structured environment. I'm told where to go, when to go. I'm in Bible classes all day long. I'm working. I'm in this environment where I can't get in too much trouble. But I'm afraid that when I get out of here, I'm going to go back to my old habits. I'm afraid I'm going to go back to my old life. And I'm going to disappoint my children. I'm going to let my kids down. I'm going to disappoint my parents, or I'm going to disappoint myself. And so I was praying one day earnestly about this. And I said, Lord, we know this is true, that the rate of people really, truly wanting to change, and this is true whether you're inside of a prison barbed wire fence or prison wall, or whether you're right here in your everyday life, those of us who are free to walk about this earth as we please, we know that it is true. That as much as we want change, as much as we say we want things to be different, we tend to revert back to old behavior. Habits are incredibly powerful. Habits are things that we have learned over time. It's learned behavior that we have lived day in and day out for years and years and years. And so it takes something extremely powerful, and it takes an absolute decision, first and foremost, that you are going to change. Not even that you want to change, not even that you're going to try to change, because I don't like the T word. Okay, try. Try to me means I am leaving myself an out just in case. So we aren't going to try to change. We aren't going to try to do better. If there's something you need defeated in your life that is holding you back, that is holding you in bondage, you're not going to try to make changes. You're going to make a decision that you are not staying the same. So the first step in changing your mind and changing your life is you and I have to make a decision. We're not living like this anymore. We're not living in the shape we're in anymore. We're not living with the same destructive habits we've had all of our lives anymore. And we know that through the power of Jesus Christ, he has given us the power to change. However, just making a decision and just giving it to Jesus is not enough. Yes, God will help us. Yes, he will lift us up and encourage us. And I believe he convicts and corrects and he'll nudge us and go, hey, that's not in line with the plan. But our will is so strong that if we don't, as an act of our own will, make a decisive decision to learn what we have to do to be different, we'll never make it. We will always revert back. You know, the word says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. And so what happens with us a lot of times is we know it's not good for us. We know it's bad. We know it's destructive. We know it hurts ourselves and others around us. But we do it anyway. We go back. Paul said, the very thing I ought to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So we know it's a struggle. But here's the good news that God showed me. That day that I was earnestly praying, going through my house saying, Lord, how can I help these girls? How can I help them? Because they're right. It is so strong, the pull of bad habits and the things we've always done, the way we've always done it. We lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We literally are great at telling everybody else what to do, and yet when it comes to living it out ourselves, we fail in so many cases miserably. So Romans 12:2 is the scripture that he gave me that morning, and he said to me, if they are not transformed by the entire renewing of their mind, they will not make it on the outside. And so I went to Romans 12:2, which says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. And then he goes on, he says, by the renewal of your mind. So bottom line is, you and I need a new brain. We need a new mind. We need a new way of thinking. And then he goes on to say that by testing, you may discern what the will of God is. We talked about this on Friday. Everyone wants to know God's will. We all want God's will. And we're always praying, God, what is your will? What is your will? But he says, if you'll renew your mind with the word of God, you will know my will. And then he says, my good, acceptable, and perfect will. So bottom line is, it's a decision. It only comes by renewing our mind. In other words, you have to reprogram your brain. I went to a Joyce Meyer conference years ago, and there was a woman there named Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F. You should go check her research out. It is fascinating. And she's got a great book called Who Stole My Brain? And I actually have that book. And it was a time during my life when I really felt like somebody had stolen my brain because I couldn't keep a straight thought in my head. I was under extreme stress. I was also going through a lot of changes physically in my life. And I really was struggling with that. So I grabbed that book up. I snatched it up and brought it home. But what really, really inspired me that I've been able to use it in the prison, she showed a picture of a brain that has been programmed with negativity, a brain that has been programmed with negative words, negative thoughts, negative ways of thinking, with fear, with the wrong types of music, the wrong types of movies, with all these things, abuse. And it literally gripped me because it looked like a black claw had literally infiltrated this person's brain. You can actually see this on her website. You can actually go in and Google a positive brain, negative brain, and see the pictures. I actually printed them off, and I take them in with me to the prison for my class. But bottom line is, the negative brain is black. It's gray. It's dull. It looks like death. It has a claw in it that looks like a you know, those black Halloween trees that people sometimes decorate, which I would not do and will not do. But anyway, you see people with those. That's what it looks like. It literally looks like a claw, an old black shriveled up tree that has just infiltrated the brain. And then you see the positive brain. When you see a positive brain, it's electrifying. It's bright colors. It's neon colors. It's yellow. It's red. It's blue. It's bright green. It looks so exciting. It looks alive. It looks vibrant. So I began, I was studying what Dr. Leaf had said, and she said that there is literally, and this is powerful stuff, guys, there is literally a groove in our brains that is there from years of patterned behavior and patterned ways of thinking. It's much like the groove in an old record. Guys, remember the albums that we used to put on the turntable and we used to put the needle on, and that there would be a groove in that disc, and that groove would create or would bring forth a sound, a specific sound that had been programmed and grooved into it. The same thing with our brain. Your brain has a patterned way of behaving and a patterned way of thinking that has been grooved over many, many years. That's why it's so critically important, if you have small children or grandchildren, you really encourage your family to groove their brains with the positive, the pure, the powerful, the potent. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And the Bible says that because it's critically important, and that's Philippians 4:8. So I have to put my brain to the Philippians 4:8 test, and this is the test. Throughout the day, periodically, I will say to myself, Dana, is that thought of whatsoever things are true? Is it a whatsoever things are noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? If not, then I'm going to take that thought captive. Because God's word says we can take every thought captive and bring it under subjection, under the knowledge of the word of God. So you can take those negative thoughts, those thoughts that try to bombard you, the things that were spoken over you as a child. You know, one of the things that I hear often is these girls saying that they were told they were a mistake. They were told that they were a whoops baby. And I'm telling you now, one of the strongest things I believe with all my heart is no one was a mistake. No one was a whoops. Your parents may not have planned you, but God planned you. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You were no mistake. You were planned and thought of way before you were born by Almighty God. So first we got to get that straight in our brain. These things that people have said over us, you'll never amount to anything. You're just like your daddy. You're going to end up in prison just like your father. Do you know how many people that are actually incarcerated were told all of their lives by a parent or an authority figure that they were going to end up there? It is powerful what you listen to. It is powerful who you hang around with. It is powerful what you choose to believe. So these kids that are in these environments, they can't lift themselves out and remove themselves. So we have this whole society now of people that have been raised by idiots, and I'm just saying that because anybody can have a baby. You know, you got to get a license to drive a car. You got to have a license to carry a gun. You got to have a license. There's all these things you got to have to do certain things, but you don't have to have a license to have a child. So we have all these people that don't know any better because they're ignorant of the truth. They were probably spoken to negatively all of their lives, and all they have to give is what was given to them. The good news is we can break the cycle. We can break the chain. We tell those young women in prison, you can be the generation where the curse is ended. You are the generation that changes your mind, changes your life. You impart truth and hope and love and encouragement and courage into your children, and you have broken the cycle in your family's history. This is powerful stuff. So number one, you don't have to be like everybody else, conforming to this world, and you don't have to be what the world says you are. You make the decision to change your mind, and you begin to reprogram it with the powerful truth of what God says about you. You got to develop a plan of action of how you're going to change, and then you got to take action on the plan. So the first assignment in this segment of Change Your Mind, Change Your Life is that it is critically important now that you go and find the promises of God. What God says about you, that you are going to begin to speak over your own life. Write them down. Type them out. Put them in front of your face. Speak them over yourself every day. Number two, you've got to turn some things off. You've got to turn off some of the things you're listening to that are programming your brain negatively. And number three, you've got to separate yourself from some people. You've got to separate yourself from an environment of negativity. If you're in an environment where you're being spoken to negatively over and over again, where you're being beaten down and you're being spoken to harshly, I'm telling you now, you've got to separate yourself. Even if you don't literally move out of that environment, You've got to choose to spend quality time with yourself and reprogramming and putting in as much time or more time into the powerful, the pure, and the positive that you do into listening to that negative. Find yourself positive people to hang out with. Get involved in a Bible-based positive body of believers in a church that's going somewhere, that's excited about God, that's going to encourage you, lift you up, and move you forward. This is the key. This is the key to everything. It is so important that we make the decision and then we take action. So first of all, you know the grooves are there, but we also know that we can regroove our brains. So the power is in the Word of God that has the power to transform. And I love this. So ask yourself these questions. Is what I'm thinking about right now noble, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, and of good report? And here's what God promises if we will renew our minds. Number one, he says we will be transformed on the inside, not just cleaned up on the outside. Transformed on the inside to live a life of sustained change. That's the key. Number two, we will know and understand God's will for our lives. We won't be fumbling in the dark, wondering what God's doing with us, because guess what? Our mind has been transformed by the Word of God. His good, perfect, and acceptable will is going to be imparted to us. He's going to show us the way that we should go. And number three, it says that the God of peace will be with you. Now listen, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God's going to renew our mind for us. Just because we make a decision to change, just because we make a decision to walk in a different way, God never says, just follow me and I will renew your mind. He says that you must renew your mind. So here's God's part. God says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7 that he gives us the power to change. And it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So quote that over your life. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Number two, he promised to give us the Holy Spirit, which is our partner in effective change. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and then he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Listen to that still small voice. How many times in my life have I gone on and done something when I had that nagging still small voice in my spirit saying, no, don't do it. Back down, back away, stop, don't go that direction. See, sometimes our will is so strong that we negate the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then also, God promises us to bring us from darkness to light. John 18:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God's Word is light for us. God's Word is truth for us. Without it, we're in the darkness, stumbling around, trying to make it on our own ability and strength. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the question is, do we want to continue walking our own way, our own will, the habits that have been grooved into our brain all of our lives, or do we want to walk in power? Do we want to come out of that darkness and that deception, have our path illuminated? God promises to give wisdom to those who ask. James 1:5 says, if any of you, that means you, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And then our part, we must take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and everything that would set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and bring it under subjection to the Word of God. So here's the key, guys. We have the ability to take our thoughts captive. Have you ever been in a situation where your mind began to wander, your mind began to run away with you, maybe into an area it didn't need to go? We have to demolish arguments. Have you ever had an argument going on in your brain? where you knew the right thing to do, but your brain was arguing with you about, well, yeah, but, and all those yeah, buts get us in trouble. So it says that we demolish arguments. That means you got to kill them. You got to squash them. You got to wipe them out and demolish everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then we take those thoughts captive. We bring it under subjection to the Word of God. Okay, so here's what we do. We say, okay, I know that I'm thinking this thought. I know that I'm feeling this way right now. I'm feeling defeated. I'm feeling like a failure. But God says I'm a more than a conqueror. Through Christ Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. I may feel like a failure right now, but God says I'm more than a conqueror. He says I'm victorious through the blood of Jesus. So you have to have that Word of God hidden in your heart to counteract the thoughts, the arguments that you need to demolish. So the only way we're going to demolish those arguments and those things that set up messages in our brain that are not true about us, and hey, listen, even if it was true at one time, it doesn't have to be true now. I don't like the fact that people speak their past over their present and their future. If you want a different future, stop prophesying your past over your future. If you've been an alcoholic, if you've been in some kind of an addiction, say, I thank you, God, that you have set me free by the power of the blood of Jesus to walk in newness of life. I thank you that I'm not that anymore. I'm not what I was anymore. I'm a new creation. I thank you, God, that behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. So this, my friends, is what we hang on to. This, my friends, is who we are. We are more powerful than you or I can even imagine because of the God that lives on the inside of us and the Word of God that is in our hearts. So today, make a decision. You're changing. Get those scriptures that are your scriptures. I can't give you your scriptures. Only God can give you the scriptures that you can stand on, that you must stand on. And then number three, take action. Just do it. Get into the Word of God. Type up your power scriptures. Post them around your house. Post them in your bathroom mirror. Post them on your kitchen refrigerator. Post them in your calendar of events that you do every single day. If you work at a desk, post them on your desk. And you know what? A great way to witness to people when they come by your desk and they see your positive confessions about yourself that are on your desk. And then they ask you, hey, man, what's that? You know, what are you doing? And you can say, you know what? I'm regrooving my brain with what God has to say about me instead of what the world, what's always been spoken over me and what I've spoken over myself. Remember, my friends, you and I will have more conversations with ourselves than we will with any other person in our lives. What we speak is more important. What we say about ourselves out loud to ourselves is more important than anything that anyone else could ever say about us. We hold the key. We hold the key. It isn't about someone else. It isn't about what someone else chooses to do or doesn't choose to do in your life. They shouldn't hold that much power over you. It's about what you choose to do. You're an overcomer. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. And I'm telling you guys, when you get that, it doesn't matter what anyone else does or says. You have so entrenched the Word of God into your heart and into your mind. That new groove is groovy, baby. And I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, so I can say that word. It is a groovy groove because it's just going to completely transform the way you feel about yourself, the way you think about yourself, and in turn, it's going to change the way you think and feel about other people. You're going to be a carrier of hope. You're going to be a carrier of hope. Don't you want to carry hope? Don't you want to walk out of your house every day and be that light that shines so brightly that people go, man, I don't know what goes on with her, but whatever she's taking, I want some of it. You know, I've had that said to me over the years. People thought I was on drugs. Ever since I was in junior high school, people would come up to me and go, man, I don't know what you're taking, but give me some of that. You know, the joy of the Lord is attractive. The joy of the Lord is appealing. And when you regroove your brain and you're walking in the truth of who you are and not the lies that have been spoken over you, the lies you've spoken over yourself, your light is going to shine so brightly that people are going to be drawn to you and they're going to want to know the hope that you have. It's your tool to witness to the world around you. Your lifestyle, your joy, your overcoming faith, the power of God that resides inside of you. Father, we just love you today. Lord, you're amazing. Your word is so powerful. It is like a jackhammer that breaks up the junk that's been held in our brains for all these years, Father God. I'm asking right now, Lord, revelation knowledge for every person listening to the sound of my voice, whatever they need, God. Show them in your word the truths specifically for them to counteract the negativity. God, I thank you that you're faithful, and I thank you that you're no respecter of persons. What you've done for me, you will do for every person who seeks you, because you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek after you. So, God, that's what we're doing on these Coffee in the Words. We're diligently seeking after you, your will, your way, your word, the power to transform our lives. God, we just love you. Use us today. Give us divine appointments, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, I love you guys. Thank you so much for dialing in for Coffee and the Word. I'll be back Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. with another powerful message of hope and encouragement. If you know someone that needs a touch from God, have them subscribe to the podcast. You can find that on Facebook. You can also go to www.isaiah3018ministries.com and get the information there. You can also submit prayer requests at the Isaiah website. And if you'd love to be a monthly partner, we're believing God for 100 partners by Christmas, and would love for you to partner. It's very simple. Just contact us on our website or on Facebook. So we love you guys. God bless you. Stay powered up today with the Word of God.